Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Sask Egg Today with Doug Faulkner.
Good afternoon and welcome to Sask Egg Today. Coming up on today's program, seeding is underway in some parts of Saskatchewan. That was the first topic of discussion on Friday's SaskAgToday.com roundtable with Chief Agricultural Editor Kevin Hirsch. He'll touch on a number of other subjects on today's program as well. There are anecdotal reports of some farmers seeding around southwestern Saskatchewan. Crops Extension Specialist Shannon Chant is based in Swift Current, and she will provide an update on how it's going in that part of the province. As you've heard, rain is forecast for the Parkland region for the better part of this week. We'll hear from Scott Kaler with WeatherLogix in Winnipeg as he'll talk about this week's forecast and looking also ahead to May in general. All of those stories and much more coming up on today's edition of Sask Ag Today. But first, it's time for the Agriculture Outlook with Precision Weather. And that's a presentation of Milligan Bio. Milligan Bio now offers bio-meal for your livestock, giving your animals more protein, more energy, and more of what they need. It's also brought to you by Sean Prahitka, your REMAX Blue Chip Ag Division Specialist. Welcome back to Sask Ag Today. Seeding is underway in some parts of Saskatchewan. That was the first topic of discussion on Friday's SaskAgToday.com roundtable with Chief Agricultural Editor Kevin Hirsch.
Yeah, we've been here at Cabri, you know, pecking away at it the last 2 or 3 days. Not a whole lot of activity yet. They're spraying and people getting ready. This is probably on average about the typical start time for us. Last year, actually, it was a little later. It was into May just because a little bit of inclement weather at the end of April. But this would be typical of the time for us. But I'm surprised some of the people you guys have seen and talked to that in other areas of the province that aren't always going this early that are up and running already.
He also commented on the Competition Bureau's report about the proposed Bunge-Viterra merger.
Well, most analysts are betting that to make the merger go ahead or get clearance, that they'll have to divest of some assets. It's possible that maybe Bunge will have to divest its minority interest in G3. It's possible maybe it'll just be certain facilities that they'll have to divest, but it will be a dance around that. And I'm sure the companies will try to convince the Competition Bureau that some of their concerns are overblown. But at the end of the day, I think there's going to be some assets up for sale to make the deal go through and get approval.
Hirsch notes the avian flu outbreak involving dairy cattle in the United States continues to affect the cattle markets.
Yeah, and I've also heard there's some restrictions on interstate movement of cattle. And this thing is... seems like a slow-moving train wreck that every week there's just another little item that worries the market a little more. And you hear that cattle prices are really high, but you also hear that this nagging fear that this problem could become bigger is affecting American futures prices on cattle. So it's still something that really bears watching. Perhaps it will fade away, but I'm afraid that as they dig deeper, we may have more ramifications that won't be pleasant. But that's just a hunch. I really think that it's something though to pay attention to. That it's something that has the potential to be a significant issue.
He then went into the grain and oilseed markets.
There is some market sentiment now that perhaps things are looking brighter in the wheat market. There's a number of analysts out there that have changed their stance to some degree. And it's good to see a bit of strength in canola, Personally, I don't think we're going to see it skyrocket, but if it can maintain even between $14 and $15 a bushel net to producers, that won't be a lot of the expectations are that that's where we're going to be. But there is some fresh buzz that due to a number of events around the world, that the wheat situation looks more promising price-wise than it has for some time.
Hirsch also commented on the new chief commissioner of the Canadian Grain Commission, David Hunt.
Well, it's tough to find out much. You know, maybe it's the problem with having such a common name, but you Google him and you find very little. The biography that came out of the Canadian Grain Commission listed him briefly in the beginning of his career with Richardson and Puriton, didn't really say what his role was with them, and then he joined Manitoba Agriculture in 2007. Well, that sounds good, Manitoba Agriculture, but you look at the portfolios and what he's done there, it's everything from veterinary diagnostics to climate change kind of work, and not really in the grain sector. So I was expecting that when the chief commissioner was announced that it would be a name that we would all recognize, a farm group leader, a prominent farmer, somebody out of the grain trade. So I'm a bit surprised. I hope that his qualifications and his abilities are better than what they appear just looking at his resume. And I hope that it's just a case of nobody wanted the job and he was the best of the lot. So we'll have to give him the benefit of the doubt. But before now, I had never heard of David Hunt.
He expects most farm groups will take a wait-and-see approach to the announcement.
Well, and farm groups, you know, they obviously aren't going to say a whole lot until they have met with him and assess the fellow. They're not going to poison the atmosphere, but I was a bit underwhelmed, and I hope that I'm proven wrong.
And Hirsch also touched on the Farm Credit Canada Agri Spirit Fund announcement from last week.
Yeah, there's a smattering everywhere. I'm not clear, though, how many applications they received versus how many they can actually select. I suspect that they received many more applications than they can accommodate, but still that kind of funding is hard to come by, and for very worthy projects and for the bother of just putting in an application, it's worth the time and effort to see if you can be successful.
Kevin Hirsch is the chief agricultural editor for SaskAgToday.com. It's time now for the AgriView portion of our program, and that's a presentation of New Era Ag Technologies in Swan River.
GX94, AgriView.
The Canadian Food Inspection Agency, or CFIA, says it has not detected a case of highly pathogenic avian influenza in cattle in Canada at this time, and is not currently testing for traces of the virus in raw or pasteurized milk. They say, as with many reportable diseases in animals, testing is being recommended based on suspicion of the disease through, for example, the presence of clinical signs. The CFIA says it is aware of the U.S. findings of inactivated avian flu virus particles in pasteurized milk samples through quantitative polymerase chain reaction testing, but they note positive results do not necessarily indicate that there is active virus in the milk, and the risk to consumers remains low. The CFIA says avian flu is not a food safety concern, as pasteurization is required for the sale of cow's milk in Canada. Spring wheat bids in Western Canada climbed higher during the weekend at April 25th, as a rally in United States futures provided support. Chart-based speculative buying was behind much of the strength in the futures, as fund traders bought back some of their large net short position. Declining crop ratings for U.S. winter wheat, the ongoing conflict between Russia and Ukraine, and the possibility that India will need to import wheat to replenish its own tightening supplies all contributed to the gains. Average Canada Western Red Spring 13.5% wheat prices were up by $18.70 to $21.80 Canadian per metric ton across the prairies, according to price quotes from a cross-section of delivery points compiled by PDQ. Average prices ranged from $320 per metric ton in southeastern Saskatchewan to as high as $339.20 per metric ton in southern Alberta. Polish farmers called off their protest at the last border crossing with Ukraine today, lifting a blockade that has dragged on for months, soured bilateral relations, and buffeted Ukraine's trade. Polish truckers, later joined by farmers, have blocked border crossings with Ukraine since late autumn last year, amid concerns over unfair competition and cheap grain. They have cited government inaction over a loss of business to foreign competitors since Russia's war on Ukraine, with truckers from Ukraine exempt from seeking permits to cross the Polish border. Ukraine's border guard spokesman said Polish farmers had ended the blockade at the Rawaruska crossing this morning. The Polish Farm Ministry said late last night that farmers had announced a suspension following talks with their agriculture minister. Bayer shareholder Deka Investment says it will not join other large investors in supporting the healthcare and agriculture group's management at its annual general meeting. Two other larger German mutual fund management houses have said they would vote in favor of approving the management board's actions, while two shareholder advisory firms have recommended such a vote. Bayer CEO Bill Anderson will face questions at the AGM over his decision in March to suspend for up to 3 years any preparations to break apart the German maker of pharmaceuticals, crop protection products, and consumer health remedies. Anderson, who became CEO in June of 2023, has had a tumultuous start with a continued wave of U.S. litigation about an alleged cancer-causing effect of weed killer glyphosate and a major setback in drug development late last year. During the province's last snow dump, one Saskatchewan cattle farming couple received more than snow. A cow gave birth to not one, but four calves. On the morning of April 19th, south of Tisdale, Mark and Aaron Van Hastert initially discovered one of their cows had given birth to three calves. Aaron says she took them into the barn to get them warm, and when Mark went back about three-quarters of an hour later to get the mom, they discovered she'd had a fourth calf. The four calves, named Orangala, Greenalope, Bluthany, and Nobody, were born 2 weeks premature, but with extra TLC, the quadruplets are doing fine. And SaskAg Today is always available on podcast. Listen to past shows whenever you want. Find them easily by going to gx94radio.com. Also, you can hear the podcast on your Amazon Echo. Just enable the GX94 skill and choose SaskAg Today. And yes, it is free. That's the Ag Review portion of our program. Please stay tuned. SaskAg Today will return right after these messages. Welcome back to SaskAg Today. I'm Doug Faulkner. It's mainly sunny and 14 degrees in the Yorkton-Melville region. I'll have your complete weather details coming up at the top of the hour. There are anecdotal reports of some farmers seeding around southwestern Saskatchewan. Crops Extension Specialist Shannon Chant is based in Swift Current, where soil moisture conditions are dry. She has noticed a few producers in the field.
Yeah, we definitely could use some moisture. From what I've heard, though, it's not too bad. So things will hopefully get off to a pretty good start. I will never say no to moisture down here. I'm kind of whatever form. Hopefully we're done with the snow for a while. But yeah, things are looking not too bad. I've seen a few people out seeding already. There's a couple of tractors out collecting rocks, too. It's a bit more of an issue for some fields in the southwest. But yeah, no, things are getting going. I'm sure there's probably seeding that's been underway for a while. In the extreme southwest, kind of Maple Creek area or Consul, that area usually gets going earlier than our area here in Swift Current.
She notes seeding usually gets underway in southwestern Saskatchewan by now.
Yeah, usually they're the first ones to get going. In some years, it's been earlier on in April, sometimes even up to the first week in the extreme southwest. But the last few years, we have had some snow in April, so probably getting a bit I wouldn't say a slow start. It's certainly a good time for seeding, but just sometimes a bit different than other years.
Chance says many farmers are concerned about weed control this spring.
I haven't talked to a lot of farmers lately. Ones that I've been talking to are talking about kind of weed control. Kochia is something that comes up as a bit of a concern, especially with some of the herbicide resistance out there, as well as Russian thistle and a few kind of other weeds. The questions I've had were in cereals, but there's also questions for different crops as well for weed control.
She believes the situation is similar in other parts of Saskatchewan as well.
A lot of people just get kind of getting ready to seed, again, some weed control questions, and possibly some seeding temperatures, seeding rates as well is something that people ask. You can do a calculation that's a bit more specific if you go through using your 1,000 kernel weight and what you're targeting for your plant population, as well as kind of your germination rate. You can target it for your field too and vary it a bit depending on your moisture conditions going in or other conditions. Say you have potentially you have a lot of weeds in the field, then it might be useful to bump up your seeding rate a bit just to help that competition between the crop and the weeds.
That's Shannon Chant, a crops extension specialist with the Saskatchewan Ministry of Agriculture based in Swift Current. It's time now for the livestock market conditions, and they're a presentation of Langenberg Motors.
Livestock market conditions.
U.S. live cattle futures for June closed at 177.15 today. That's down 142. August live cattle closed at 175.67, down 110. August feeder cattle closed at 259.62, down 92. September feeder cattle closed at 260.72, down 85. June lean hogs closed at 102.47, unchanged. July lean hogs closed at 105.45, down 50. And that's the livestock market conditions. As you heard at the top of the show, rain is forecast for the Parkland region for the better part of this week. Scott Kaler with WeatherLogix in Winnipeg talks about this week's forecast.
We're expecting to see rain across pretty much all of agricultural Saskatchewan this week with a series of fairly disorganized weather systems. So while we are expecting rain pretty well everywhere, the tricky part with these systems is going to be determining where exactly the highest amounts are going to fall, because we're not dealing with a really well-defined Colorado low or Alberta Clipper here where it's pretty obvious where the heaviest amounts will go. But with rain kind of scattered almost every day throughout the week, good chance that everybody does get something.
He says there will be multiple weather systems moving through.
There will be a number of different systems moving through. The first ones kind of stalled over Saskatchewan. They came in from Alberta, and there's another one that stalled over the northern U.S. So those two are going to be the first round. And then as we get later in the week, we see a system coming out of Colorado, but it's not going to be a typical Colorado low. It's actually going to pass well south of Saskatchewan, but 30 plus. And then in the northern grain belt, that's where amounts will start to taper off. So if you're in Saskatoon, you're kind of on the edge of those 10 or 20 millimeter amounts. And then when you get farther north, let's say up toward Prince Albert, the amounts drop off quite a bit more. So it's looking like the farther south you are, the greater the chance that you'll see some of the higher totals.
He believes western Saskatchewan should make out pretty well with this rain.
Yeah, for the southwest, when you're in the drier Palliser's Triangle zone, it does look like they're potentially in for some of the higher amounts too. The tricky thing there is with the terrain of the Cypress Hills and some of the other features, sometimes that will block some of the precipitation depending on the wind direction. But it looks somewhat favorable right now for those areas to get part of that 10 or 20 millimeters as well. And I wouldn't be surprised if we did see some higher amounts, especially around the Cypress Hills, where sometimes when the wind is from a favorable direction, it helps to pull a little bit of extra moisture out of these systems.
Kaler then goes into the Alberta forecast.
Well, it's looking like Alberta will be a little bit more just kind of on the edge of everything here. So for parts of Alberta that are a little bit farther south and east, I think that are going to potentially get in on some of the rain. But with these systems coming up out of the U.S., they probably won't affect parts of Alberta that are farther north and west. I'm just looking at one of our maps for that province, and looks like, you know, at least with the initial amounts of rain this week, kind of the best chance for that is also more in southern Alberta. Central areas could get some rain too, but it's a little bit more uncertain.
As for Manitoba,
It looks like at least early in the week, lighter amounts. So if we're going kind of from Monday through Wednesday, it's looking like generally 5 to 10 millimeters with maybe a touch more near the U.S. border. And then as we get later in the week, there's a potential for some higher amounts as that system from Colorado starts to move by. And that's where we could see maybe 10 to 20 millimeters, but still far enough away that's a bit more uncertain.
And Keller then looks at the long-range forecast for May.
Well, at WeatherLogix, we've been talking a lot about the potential for a wetter spring and summer this year because of the fact that El Nino is beginning to wane. And when El Nino is waning, that means that the water temperatures in the Pacific Ocean along the equator are starting to get cooler. What that often does for the prairies is brings more weather systems through during the summertime. So it's actually the opposite of what we had in winter, which was a lot of warm and dry weather. Now it's beginning to reverse as El Nino weakens, and so I do anticipate a lot more of these systems. And what we're seeing now is seems to kind of be the start of that with some of these periods of wetter, unsettled, and dreary weather that we haven't seen as much in prior years where El Nino was stronger or we were in other types of patterns that weren't as favorable.
Scott Kaler is with WeatherLogix in Winnipeg. Please stay tuned. SaskAg Today will resume right after these messages.
It's Eisner Auction's large online consignment sale opening May 2nd and closing May 7th. Many new additions include 566 round baler, 930 Moco, new idea disc vine, egg shield multi-use trailer, 2012 load trailer equipment hauler, Patriot 75-foot sprayer, 2016 Can-Am Defender side-by-side, 2013 Polaris Ranger 900, 2010 Scandic snowmobile, vintage Honda motorcycle, 2003 Sterling tandem grain truck with 20-foot box, 1997 Princecraft sport boat with 115 horsepower Honda motor, and more. Go to EisnerAuction.com now. Check website daily. Call Ryan 204-734-0191. That's EisnerAuctions.com.
Welcome back to SaskAg Today. Farmers across Saskatchewan and Manitoba are getting anxious for spring seeding, but Ashley Kaminsky, the Crops Extension Specialist for the Saskatchewan Ministry of Agriculture in Humboldt, has some tips on the right time to start planting.
Saskatchewan's gearing up for the seeding season, and for the most part, I think folks are just waiting for the right weather and field conditions to start. Something to keep in mind when waiting to hit the field is optimal soil temperature for germination. The optimum soil temperature for most spring seeded crops is when soils are warmer than 10 degrees Celsius. However, some crops will germinate at various soil temperatures. For example, peas and lentils are quite cold tolerant and can be planted when the average soil temperature is at 5 degrees Celsius. Canola and mustard will germinate at temperatures as low as 2 degrees, but keep in mind that these crops can receive damage if a spring frost is received too early when at the cotyledon stage. Cereal crops can be seeded when soil temperature is at about 4 to 5 degrees Celsius. To take a soil temperature, place your thermometer at the depth of seeding and take two measurements throughout the day, one in the morning and one in the early evening. Average these two readings together and determine average soil temperature. Taking readings in several locations in the field is also a good strategy, especially if the field is hilly or variable. With the growing season fast approaching, I'd also like to highlight our pest monitoring program in Saskatchewan. Pest surveys are conducted in the province to help build forecast maps and make recommendations for control. Maybe you've seen some of these maps online in the past. This information helps make informed pest management decisions on farm. Our pest surveys are made possible with the partnership of producers who allow surveyors access to their land. And this is an important part of what makes the pest monitoring program possible. If you would like to give permission for surveyors to access your land for the pest monitoring program, please phone the Ag Knowledge Center at 1-866-457-2377. This has been Ashley Kaminsky, Crop Extension Specialist with the Saskatchewan Ministry of Agriculture in Humboldt.
Commodities Update.
Canola futures closed down across the board today. July canola closed at $633 per metric ton, down $1.40. November canola closed at $6.49.10, down $2.40. July Minneapolis wheat closed at $7.07.75. That's up 4.25 cents. July Kansas City wheat closed at $6.50.5, down 3.75 cents. July Chicago wheat closed at $6.08.5, down 13.75 cents. July corn closed at $4.49.25, down 0.75 cents. July soybeans closed at $11.82 per bushel. That's up 4.75 cents. July oats closed at $3.69.75, up 11 cents. And that's the commodities update. It's time now to check in with Tanya Cherry.
Thank you, Doug. Joining me, Ross Fisher with the GX94 Airwaves for Health Radiothon. Ross, how have the phones been this morning?
They've actually been terrific. You guys are doing a great job.
Good.
Phones are ringing. People are stopping down to the office. It's good.
Now, something that is really exciting, because the money raised this year is going on two different tracks, one for equipment for the health region, for the, Yorkshire Regional Health Center. The other one, which is so exciting, a brand new sonography program at Suncrest College, correct?
Yes. Yeah, actually, it's interesting because both tracks are they're new investments, or investments into the community, if you will. Like, the sonography program is new for us, or new for Suncrest College here, but it's also new for Saskatchewan. We've never taught it in Saskatchewan. Ultrasound course has never been taught here. Kids have to go to Calgary or Ottawa in order to go to school, and often when young people go out of province for several years for education, they they don't come back, or a good number of them don't come back. And we know this in part because, like, the government buys seats to go to SAIT in Alberta. And if you purchase so many seats and have kids go, you get to track which ones come home. And we know the majority don't. So it's this provides an opportunity for education at home. It makes it more accessible for our own students and for people in this area. And it makes it much more likely that they'll actually stay and work in Saskatchewan if they go to school in Saskatchewan. So it's just smart for us to make this kind of an investment, and it's good for, and it's very much future oriented.
Yeah, it really is. That is so exciting. I didn't know that. If you want to be an ultrasound technician, it has never been taught here in Saskatchewan, and it will be now at the Suncrest College, which is huge. Ross, do you have that total in front of you that we're at right now?
I think the last time we told you we had a total, we had about $118,000 raised.
There you
and
go.
I know that we've had more contributions come in since then, so I know we're over $120,000 now, but I don't have an exact number right in front of me.
No, that's perfect. I was just going with the $118,000, so that is exciting, and that number is going to keep on growing, and you can call in to make your donation right now, 1-800-636-3243. 1-800-636-3243. GX94 Airwaves for Health Radiothon.
DEP is accepting applications for its AgriSpirit Fund. $1.5 million is available for registered charities, nonprofit organizations, and First Nations, Métis, and Inuit communities in rural Canada who apply for the fund. FCC's Manager of Community Investment, Carla Warnica, says eligible projects can get between $10,000 and $25,000 for capital projects that will enrich the lives of residents in their communities.
Past projects include everything from greenhouses to community gardens or other agriculture and food-related projects. We've also done a lot of work with things like refrigeration or equipment upgrades to support things like food waste reduction or recovery. Done some projects that improve accessibility and inclusion, and things like upgrades that might reduce a building's energy footprint.
She mentioned a few Saskatchewan communities who use the AgriSpirit Fund for their respective projects.
Recently, we did a project in Fort Capel. We did a refrigeration and food preservation equipment we purchased for them for a community kitchen. We did another one in Melville, where we upgraded the LED lighting for one of their community halls. Another example would be the Kinniston Soto Nation 91, where we purchased a greenhouse and some community gardens.
Warnica says the fund is a handy tool for rural communities, given how difficult it can be to obtain money.
We have heard that it's absolutely having an impact. You know, there's sometimes accessing funding can be tricky, particularly in rural communities where there are perhaps less organizations that are available to provide that support. So that's why this is focused on rural communities and knowing that the access to funding can be a little bit more challenging. So that's why we really encourage those rural communities to come forward if they've got those projects and take a look at the FCC Acre Spirit Fund and see if we can assist them with their projects in their communities.
And it also comes at a time when all the talk in the agriculture sector has been around sustainability and climate change.
Yeah, you know, we see organizations across the country working on being more sustainable, and this is an opportunity for them to access some funding to meet their sustainability goals. We're hoping to partner with these organizations and to do exactly what you'd said, look at reducing their energy footprint or rescuing food. There's an opportunity here to access some funding to help them meet those objectives.
The deadline to apply is May 15th, and information on how to apply can be found at fccagrispiritfund.ca. There's also the 2024 Food, Fuel, and Fertilizer Global Summit coming up on May 6th and 7th in Regina. You can join them for day one for some networking, appetizers, and entertainment at their debrief and drinks reception. It's open to all attendees. The reception will commence immediately after the conclusion of the conference, and no RSVP is required. Among the speakers scheduled to attend the Food, Fuel, and Fertilizer Global Summit is the Premier, Scott Moe, Tim Gitzel, the President and CEO of Cameco Corporation, the Right Honorable Stephen Harper, the former Prime Minister of Canada, Honorable Jeremy Harrison, the Minister of Trade and Export Development, Bruce Bodine, the President and CEO of Mosaic Company, as well as the Honorable David Wilkins, a former U.S. ambassador to Canada. And that's all the time we have for today's Farm Bulletin Board. It's now 1 o'clock in Saskatchewan, 2 o'clock in Manitoba. Time to check the GX94 Precision Weather Forecast for the Quill Lakes, Hudson Bay, Swan River, Broadview, Mooseman, Indian Head, and Yorkton, Melville, Roblin, Russell regions today. Becoming mainly cloudy with a 40% chance of showers, winds southeast at 15 to 25, and a high of 17. For tonight, mainly clear with a 30% chance of showers, winds southeast at 15 to 25, and a low of 2. For tomorrow, cloudy with a 90% chance of rain, winds east-southeast at 15 to 30, and a high of 16. For Wednesday, a 90% chance of rain, winds east-northeast at 15 to 30, a high of 7. For Thursday, a 70% chance of showers, a high of 8. And Friday, a 60% chance of showers, a high of 7. In the Paw, it's 12 degrees. Swan River is at 13. Dauphin and Roblin, 9. Brandon, 4. Shoal Lake Russell, 8. Regina is at 18. Saskatoon, 19. Hudson Bay, 15. Broadview, Mooseman, 14. Indian Head, 17. Wynyard, Wadena, Kelvington, 16. The Yorkton-Melville region has a mainly sunny sky, a south-southeast wind at 18 kilometers an hour. 36% is the relative humidity. The temperature is 14 degrees. That's your agriculture weather, and that'll do it for SaskAg Today for today. Be sure to tune in again tomorrow at 12:15 Saskatchewan time for another edition of the program. It's time now for the news and sports headlines.